didn't get in the ark, just because it wasn't raining as you built the ark, that the imminent danger and the signs of danger weren't still prevalent and necessary and important. Right. Hey, preacher, when I feel like it, I'll get ready when I want to get ready. I got plenty of time, but I believe today, church, living in this day and hour, if you want to talk about the end times, we used to say this about 15, 20 years ago, boy, when the end times come, we are living, I believe with all my heart, in the great and thick of the end times. Yes. Under the unction of the Holy Ghost, to you that are in the church, to you that are new to God, coming to God, I'm telling you, church, today, don't fall asleep.
Right.
Don't become complacent.
Oh, God.
Don't begin to falsely believe that you can continue to just do things as a status quo.
Yeah. Yeah.
My finances and my status in life and my well-being is all going to be good. Everything's just going to be fine.
Lord, help
us. I believe it behooves us all to soberly consider redeeming our time. You know, what would you do? Anybody wake up this morning and say, you know, is Jesus coming back today? When you hopped in your car, did you say, Jesus might come back today?
Today.
At the end of the service, what would you do? Jesus came back today.
Today.
Where are you? Where's your mind, your heart, your thoughts? Are you at Denny's having breakfast? Are you going over to Starbucks for a coffee? What are we doing? Where are we? Where is the focus of our minds in our hearts? In many ways, I believe it's time to get our house in order. It's a time to be complacent, to relax in this day and hour is not in the now. But I want to say this today. If you forget everything that I've said to you and will have said to you this morning, I want you to remember this. It wasn't raining when Noah built the ark. It wasn't raining when the animals started coming two by two. It wasn't raining when God called Noah and his family to get in the ark. It wasn't raining until after God shut him in.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that time, and by that time, it was too late to consider how to get in. And this message this morning, and I thought about that, it's not a message of doom and gloom. It's a message, it's a call to remember. In Canada, on November the 11th, we celebrate what we call, or we don't really celebrate, we recognize and acknowledge a day called Remembrance Day. And my mind just went blank to what you folks call it. But it's a day we honor our veterans and what they went through. It's a day to remember. It's a message to remember. It's a thought to remember. It's a member of reckoning, yours. I believe that this message from God through me to you is a declaration to be, to get, to ensure you are ready. Make sure you're ready. It's time to be ready, to be like minute men. They were told that they would get ready very quickly, in a moment. The minute men, they were ready to go. Because I believe Satan's going to pull out all the stops, and he's going to start attacking our faith. And you talk about getting our Bibles taken from us, and they talk about what they did in some of these communist countries and how they treated people and what they did to Christians. Well, look around you and let's smell the coffee. Things are getting tight, and Christianity is kind of going on the back burner, and all the other kinds of lifestyles are coming onto the front burner, and we're becoming the target, and they're becoming the focus.
Right.
We need to be ready when you get challenged and tried, even convicted for what it is you say that you believe. You need to be ready when Jesus Christ is one who will come back for his church and his bride. You can say that you remember going back to Remembrance Day. You can go back and say, you know, I remember hearing and reading about the great wars, but it's likely many of us have never fought in such a war as that. We can say, how I remember the sacrifice that was given, the lives that were lost, the devastation that was sustained. But it still can get you to the place where in your life you forget. We forget.
Yes, we do.
See, Jesus Christ came, church. He ministered, he touched lives in the end for you and I. Jesus was the one that hung upon that old rugged cross. Jesus Christ suffered, he died, and he arose again. But you know what? That was 2,000 years ago, over 2,000, some 2,000 years ago. That was a long time ago. Remember, it was Jesus Christ who declared in the Gospel of John, I believe the 14th chapter, he says, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you might be also. But you know, Jesus hasn't returned yet, has he? The world continues on, and Jesus' love and mercy is being preached. There is, and everywhere, people continue to say, I have time. There's no hurry. But as we linger, and as you decide, some of us, to ride the fence of indecision, as we continue to harbor things and think back about things and really ponder, not really having to do certain things in the church at this present time, we excuse our reasons away to continue to cater to our flesh. This is why I do this, because you know what?
Yes, yes.
There's going to be next service. There's going to be men's breakfast. Things are going to happen, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
But as this message goes out to your ears, and maybe in a few days goes out of your mind, when you leave this place today, I want you to remember that it wasn't raining when Noah built the ark. My son actually, this is quite a few years ago, probably 5-6 years ago, he had had this little clip that I had looked at, and it was just shocking. It's about 60 seconds long. This preacher was up there preaching, and he had his Bible in his hands, and he was talking about the second coming of Christ, and the congregation was sitting there, some were reading in their books and playing with the kids and just doing certain things, and he was up there and he was preaching, and a couple of them began to yawn, and then he began not to pay any attention, and he just like this, and he preached, and he turned and he faced the congregation, and suddenly his Bible suspended for just a moment of time, and it fell to the ground, and people in the congregation went like this, and they scanned the crowd, and as they scanned this crowd, about 2/3 of them disappeared, and a few of them stood up. And they turned and they looked, and they looked at the empty seats that were next to them, beside them, around them. And they turned and they got on their faces and they began to pray in their seats. But this preacher, and I won't cross pastor's theology, if he preaches different than what I believe, listen to your pastor and ignore this preacher. I believe two times it's too late. When you die, the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment, and the soul goes back to God who gave it. I think when you die, if you're not ready, it's too late. My perception. Secondly, the Bible says, if you understand Acts 2:38, the message of Acts 2:38, and you're not ready when the rapture happens, and you know the truth. I told this to a young man just last week. I said, sometimes it's almost like we preach, and I don't want to be crude, but we preach the death sentence to people. We read and quote to them Acts 2:38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every morning in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And so they die, and they stand before God, and they look at God, and he looks them to the eye and says, did you know the plan of salvation? Can they do this? No. Have you heard the plan of salvation preached to you? What did you do with it? You knew what to do to get saved? You're not without excuse?
All right.
Secondly, the rapture happens and you're not ready to go and you know what needed to be to do. Pardon me, I believe that it's too late. There's not a second chance, and I run around the block and I'll give my head and I'll just do something different, because when I stand before God, I am without excuse. I can't say, I didn't know. I got to be ready. Preachers preaching, got to be ready. You get your house in order, be ready. In just a moment of time, in a flash, a twinkling of an eye, the Bible talks about he's coming back.
Yeah.
I can't play church. Pastor, what do I need to do? How do I need to change? God, what do I need to pray, and I need to read my Bible. I can't be ignorant, because there's going to come false Christ and false prophets, and they're going to deceive many. Many are going to go along with it. You know what? I had this fellow say, in our church, we have lots more people than you do because we can do what we want. Well, broad's the way and wide's the gate that leads to destruction, and many are going down that road. You can have and God spoke this into my spirit. He said, And I thought as I was writing it down, I'm not looking for a crowd, I'm looking for a congregation.
Yes, sir.
I want a church, an assembly of people, not just a group in a club. See, the reason you're smaller than a lot of churches, you haven't come to the revelation yet that this is how to bring it in. And this is what you don't need to preach. And I thought, well, it wasn't raining either when Noah built the ark. Let's head for a close. If Jesus was to come back today, the question you have to ask yourself, this isn't guilt to the husband, to the wife, to the kids. This is a question for you. You'll stand before God. None of us gentlemen are going to stand before God and say, well, you know my wife. Thought you did. That's the reason why. It was my kids.
Yeah. Nope.
It was my husband.
Amen. Woo. Good. Good.
Would you be ready? Well, we say, well, I'm water baptized. I claim the gift of the Holy Ghost, evidenced by speaking in an unknown tongue. But what of your life? What about your dedication, your consecration to God? Where are you in the grand scheme of things? Where are you in the church? I preached many, many years ago. A message was titled, Second Seat Saints. Now, I can sit on the back row and be a second seat saint. Doesn't matter position, per se. But I was always one, I hated being distracted. We would go to camp meetings and stuff, and I'd be just like this group of young men. I'd be right first, second seat. We cut our teeth on the second seat. There was like about 300 people in that church, and I'm trying to get over shyness and being soft-spoken and all. But anyhow, they set us forth on a second seat. And I've been a second seat saint, first seat saint, now front as a pastor preacher. But second seat saint, I don't want to be back there and distracted. I want to be right in the thick of things. I want to be right with the fires. I want to be right with, right. Amen, pastor preacher. Just right. Get into it, preach it, and call it out like it is. And that's right, and amen. Why? Because I don't want to drift and get to the back. If I'm sitting on that back row, my focus is on the pastor and on the people reading their book and playing with their kids. My focus is on that goal. The Bible says, look up for your redemption draws nigh. I got to be ready. It's reconciliation time. It's time to open up my eyes and look around and say, heaven is coming. Jesus is coming back again.
Yeah.
In the United States of America, and my wife and I were bewildered with this because Canada is just a heathen country, and I can say that and get away with it. But we're a heathenistic country. You walk into Walmart, United States of America, you can get ties that talk about God and have God say, you don't do that in Canada. And we were in Walmart in Ontario, Oregon. And we're talking about coming to Nevada and going to see my son in California. And she goes, oh, be careful, be safe. You would never say these next words, ladies and gentlemen, in Canada, in a store. You're fired. I'll pray for you. I'll pray for you and your wife.
Yeah.
She worked there, had a name badge on. Her name was Gina. And I thought, you said that in public? I'll pray for you. You've got to be kidding. God bless you. You say that in Canada, as an employee, I don't care what company you're in. You're fired. You religious zealot, get out.
Yep.
I appreciate that. And people, you're more free to talk about God in restaurants and stuff. And what would happen? You go to Monday morning and get in a job, sir, and you say, you ready? Are you ready to go? Do you know Jesus is coming back soon? No, leave me alone, buddy. Quit preaching at me, you Bible thumper. You know, he's coming back.
Right.
My papa told me he's coming back. My great-granddad told me he was coming back. Pastor over at Souls Harbor told me he's coming back. Matter of fact, he preached about it last week, but ladies and gentlemen, it wasn't raining when Noah built the ark. Neither. Are you ready to go? Are you ready to have God? Are you saying, God, I'm ready? I'm looking to get out of here one day, and that thing's just not true. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up. somewhere beyond the blue.
Yes, sir.
I'm not building my castles, and it's nice to have a nice home, nice vehicles, and nice clothes, and possessions, but you know what? You can't take anything with
that's
you.
Right. That's right.
You're gonna, you know, it's not going to happen that way. You're not going to walk out of here rich nor poor.
That's right.
You're leaving on that heavenly train.
Mm-hmm.
The song says, O soul awake, let's stand together. O soul awake, soon the Lord shall come, and none shall stand in his sight. But those who are washed in the blood of the Lamb when he comes as a thief in the night. It wasn't raining when Noah built the ark, and yet the flood waters came and they destroyed all who were not in the ark. And today we can look around us and say, you know, Jesus has not come yet. He hasn't returned according to the signs of the time. You can do that at any time. Do what? Return.
Anytime.
Anytime.
Come, Lord Jesus.
Wouldn't be a shock while walking on the streets of gold up there, and we, as we walk out of here, get in our car, your wife grabs the door handle, the kids are gone, the husband goes, the wife disappears. And tomorrow morning we'll wake up and go and say, Brother Zaltzman, I can't believe you preached a message like that on a Sunday morning in Sparks, Nevada. And we're gone. It remains to be up to you. Save yourself from this untoward generation. It's time to pray. It's time to do some soul searching. It's time to make a decision on what we're going to do. Live for Jesus with all you've got. I believe that's what really matters, church. That's what really matters today. Looking forward to being in church tonight. Looking forward to doing everything. I'm looking forward to tomorrow. But what if tomorrow didn't come? What if today was my last day on earth? It wasn't raining, but no, it was the ark. Would you take a moment, wherever you are, come to this altar, whatever you wish to do, would you take a moment and say, God, search my heart, my mind, search me, try me. God, I can look good to you, but I do I look good to me. Is my heart ready? Is my mind ready? Would you pray? Would you take a few moments and just say, God, whatever it is that I need to do, no more procrastination, no more putting things off. It's time to pray.